Third hour, Darren Donica, Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game on this Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. Two more hours to go. Gary Smith, Nashville SC head coach at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about their win last night against Toronto and their game upcoming against the Columbus Crew on Sunday evening. So we're looking forward to that. Silly Underdog picks to kick off the final hour of the program. Trying to make contact with Tim Hasselbeck, should have him in just a moment. News that has come down the pike during the course of our show. The Ravens-Steelers game has been moved now off tomorrow night until Sunday afternoon. So hopefully that game will take place. The Ravens have been dealing with some COVID issues since their loss to the Titans. They had shut down their facilities on Monday, shut down their facilities yesterday. Obviously things haven't gotten better. And I think it was five players and four staffers at last count.
Yeah, I think there have been more added.
I think there's been more, yeah. And that's the reason that it's been pushed. Because so I
the
said
first, the first time they've had to move a game in several weeks.
Yeah, you're right. It's the first time that they've had this issue and in a while, when they did have that window when things were going on with the Titans. And that was kind of like their bad patch this season, and things had kind of settled down, even though there were tests, there were positive tests and people getting it, but they kept going on with their schedule. So this is kind of the first hiccup, and we'll see if this can take place.
Some other quick headlines. Nick Saban has tested positive. That happened right as our show began. So if you are just getting into your car and you've been working, Nick Saban is out for the Iron Bowl. It is not a false positive. He does have some mild symptoms. So Nick Saban will not coach against Auburn on Saturday. Derek Mason this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, our morning show, did confirm that the goalkeeper on the women's soccer team, the SEC champion women's soccer team, Sarah Fuller, is an option to kick for the Commodores on Saturday against Missouri. It's never been done in a Power 5 game. But there are some COVID issues. We haven't had any reports from practice today, which is, I think, going on as we speak. But that'll be the next thing to take a look at, is to see if any news comes out of what happened today. So apparently she was kept separate from everybody else yesterday. And so the group didn't even become aware of it until Simon Gibbs from the Vanderbilt Hustler broke the story. But that's something to keep our eyes on. And running through Mike Vrabel's press conference, they're going to see what Brett Kern can do, see what he looks like in practice. He is on the designated to return, as well as defensive backs Christian Fulton and Ty Smith. Vague, but we'll follow their progress this week. Kenny Vaccaro and Adam Humphreys in the concussion protocol, we'll see what they can do. And no questions today on Isaiah Wilson and whether he has moved up at all and is in the plans. He did talk pretty extensively about David Kesenberry, who I guess we presume will be the left tackle.
He is for the foreseeable
future.
Tyson Braylo is out.
He's out for the year.
Yep. So, unfortunately, they've lost their left tackle now twice, and so it looks like he will be the immediate replacement, and we'll see how far that goes. Right.
Yeah. There were some that were asking, would you slide Dennis Kelly over to become the left tackle and put Wilson in? That apparently is not happening, which creates an issue. You're running out of wild cards, guys, to plug in. Jamil Douglas is not a real appetizing choice based on how he has played when he's been called upon, although, as you heard Teron say, he is capable of filling in at any position. But, man, you are really thin on that offensive line right now.
He has felt more like a warm body than anything else.
Yes, I think that's a good way of putting it. He's a big, strong guy that is kind of there. He has not graded well at all.
The big question is, because of them releasing Trevor Daniel, we know they had already released Ryan Allen, is this setting paving the way for Brett Kern to get back out there? I mean, obviously they desperately need him, especially in this game, considering.
Boy, it'd be nice.
Considering what happened a couple weeks ago, it would be really nice to have arguably the best punter in the league back in the mix. Now, how close are they? Don't know.
You know, and that would understand. You've got to probably go through a few days here of him catching snaps, catching not only snaps to punt, but snaps to hold, right? That's another facet of this, and try to figure out what he can do. Apparently, he did a few things yesterday. But the fact that they've put him on the designated return must mean that they feel like there's a shot. But we thought that with Adoree Jackson, right? There's no new news on him. That's another guy on a long list of players that you're hoping to get some good news on, at least some of them, Roger Saffold and on down the line, because this Colts team is playing very, very well at this time.
They are. They're winners of their last two, obviously, beating the Titans here on Thursday Night Football and then following up trailing at halftime by two touchdowns. Green Bay, it looked like it was going to be their day. And Indianapolis came out and controlled the second half, pushed the game into overtime, even though Indianapolis kept fumbling all over themselves with holding penalty after holding penalty, and still found a way in overtime to
if
get
you
the
look,
W.
And if you look at their offense, it's been quite a bit better the last 5 weeks. They've won 4 out of 5. The one loss was against Baltimore, and they did struggle offensively in that game. But Phillip Rivers has had a quarterback rating over 100. I'll go a step further, over 105 in 4 out of the last 5 games, all wins. Now, the first two were against Cincinnati and Detroit, no great shakes. They had to come from behind against the Bengals, but in particular,
well,
the last
2 games.
They were
down 21-0 in that game.
Yeah, so and he threw for 371, brought him back, and they win it. But particularly the last 2 weeks, he has looked very comfortable. Michael Pittman has emerged as a wide receiver, as an extra weapon for them, and they have gotten T.Y. Hilton back in the lineup. He doesn't look like he did 5 years ago, but he's there, and he is catching a few passes. So you're seeing a difference, I think, in the Colts' offense, which has to be pretty encouraging for them. You're not hearing the, well, will Rivers make it to the end of the season as the starter anymore?
No, you are not, and they are a team that seems, as we just laid out, is not afraid to play from behind. Right? I mean, it's not like they're trying to, but
right.
They're
but
not
you,
afraid
you
to
would,
get down.
You wouldn't look at them and say that's a team that can make comebacks, but they've been able to do it, right? You just referenced the Bengals game. They were way behind. They were pretty far behind against Green Bay. They were behind against the Titans. So they can beat you in a lot of different ways. This is a strong team. I had them high. I have them number 4 in my top 10. This would be an impressive win. And we know with all the tiebreakers, mathematically, the Colts would have to really collapse if they won this game to lose the division. In other words, if they've beaten the Titans twice, they've got a firm grip on the South Division. The Titans are looking at a wild card if they don't win this, which nothing wrong with that. You can do a lot of things. They still would have a very good chance of making it as a wild card. But this game is really for the division. If they win this game, the Titans have the edge in the next tiebreaker because the head-to-head is a split, and the Titans would have a better record in the division for the time being because the Colts have lost to Jacksonville somehow. Still not quite sure how that happened, but it was the first week.
It was. And you remember that discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Is Jacksonville better?
Jacksonville
than
might be better. Well, Jacksonville opened the season by beating the Colts and then taking the Titans to the wire. I mean, they were right there. They could have won that game.
Yeah.
The Titans could not stop Jacksonville all day in that one. And they eked it out. Seems like a long time ago.
This is true. We're having no luck with Tim Hasselbeck.
Yeah, what happened to Tim?
I don't know what's going on.
This is very un-Tim-like.
It is very un-Tim-like.
Is this cancellation in a meeting somewhere?
I don't think so. I don't believe so. Is he boycotting Chase not being on here today? But you know, he agreed to come on his normal time slot, knowing, or maybe he just found out. You know, Chase wasn't going to be here. I don't know.
Perhaps we call the audible and just take the break here and then hope in the next few minutes he surfaces.
Did he get pulled into a meeting when the Ravens-Steelers game got moved to Sunday?
That's
I don't really think that affects him. I don't think so. So Anyway, all right, we'll come back. Yeah, we'll see if we can collect him on the other side. If not, we'll just continue on, and we'll have Gary Smith at the bottom of the hour. You listen, Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey, smoother than smooth. Look at all these college basketball games set to tip today. By the way, Memphis is set to tip in less than 45 minutes, Willie. They're taking on St. Mary's. Should be an interesting game.
I'm just glad to have some college games. It seemed like every one of them was getting canceled and every tournament was having to swap teams out. So I'm just glad to see there are some games going on. Jerry Stackhouse has had his press conference in the last hour and revealed his starting five. No big surprises there, but they take on Valpo on Friday. Yep. Knock on wood, right? Hopefully no issues between now and Friday. You can't take anything for granted these days. But, yeah, a lot of college hoops games the next few days.
Michigan will take on Bowling Green about an hour after we get off the air. That'll be the debut of Juwan Howard as their head coach. Tell you what, if he coaches like he recruits, they're going to be pretty darn good again.
Now, this is me being way out of college basketball mode. I haven't delved into the season, but is this his first year? When did that happen? I'm in a time machine.
Yeah.
Time warp.
That's his second.
I thought he coached last year.
He coached last year.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, you say that, and here I am thinking this is his first year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I thought he coached last year, but I have been dead wrong a few times during this period of time, and you and Chase have let me know about it. Remember the day I almost struck out? I whiffed twice. I came out strong and said, "Oh, this is what happened." And you're like, "No, that's not what happened." So well, I thought I was gun shy.
Not in college basketball mode.
Yeah, so this is his second year, and he is recruiting well. Because remember, Beilein left and went to the Cavs and then quit. And
that was a disaster.
Where is he now? I don't even know. But we'll see. We'll see what that looks like up there.
He's going to replace Hugh Freeze at Liberty when he leaves. Let's go to Clay, who is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Guys, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I actually want to talk a little Colts Titans, if that's okay.
Sure.
First of all, let me wish, is Chase not there today?
Chase is out. He is off.
Okay, so you and Will are correct?
Yep.
I just wanted to wish both of you guys a happy Thanksgiving, first of all. David, I love your show.
Well, thank you, Clay. Same to you.
But anyway, the Titans, you know, when they played the Colts, guys, obviously the win in Baltimore was huge, you know, and kind of put them, you know, back on point, I guess you could say, and hopefully build some momentum for the stretch run. But for whatever reason, the Colts just seem to be the Titans' kryptonite. And if you line up, and I could be wrong, of course, maybe I'm looking through two-tone blue glasses since I'm a Titans fan, but you line up the Titans 53 and you line up the Colts 53, I personally think the Titans are better football. Now, you got to prove it on the field, but if they can go to Indianapolis, you know, Sunday and win this game, they kind of take back, you know, control of the division in a sense. Don't y'all agree?
I think it's debatable. We've had some interesting interviews with a lot of Colts, different Colts coverers. And, you know, we were talking college basketball. Dan Dockich is going to join us again on Friday. That will be fun to see what he's been doing since the last meeting between the two teams.
He told us he was coming to Nashville.
Yeah, he's got
a
daughter that goes to school. Does she go to Vanderbilt? He's got one child that goes to Michigan. He was talking up Juwan Howard the last time, but he was going to go to South Dakota to do this college basketball tournament. They had like half the field pull out. I don't know if that tournament's still on or not, or if he's still going or what, but we're always looking forward to talk to him. But the roster, I don't know if I can say that the 53 for the Titans, especially when you work in the injuries, I think the Colts are more relatively healthy. Would you say that, Darren. I'm looking at their injury chart right now. They revealed today that Philip Rivers will not practice today, but he started 200-and-something straight games. It's a toe issue. He'll be playing. But I don't – other than Marlon Mack, and they lost another defensive back very early for the year, I would have to say they're the healthier of the two teams.
T.Y. Right Hilton's now. Been out, but he's back.
Right. They list Braden Smith, guard, questionable tight end. I don't even know who that is, but Isaiah Rogers.
Doyle's missed time, but he's back. Trey Burton's missed time. He's back. They've got some pretty good tight ends. Mo Ali Cox has missed time, but he's back. It seems like all their tight ends are back. Paris Campbell's a guy that burst on the scene at the beginning of the year, and it looked like he was poised for a big season, and he's basically been out all year. He's been on IR. And I don't – they keep acting like he's not done for the season, but every week that goes by, I think Paris Campbell, they haven't had him all year, basically. I don't think they can really count on him. But yeah, overall, I would say for the most part, pretty darn healthy.
They're
healthier than the Titans.
Right. At this point. And that is something that we're looking for, right? With the Titans' issues on the offensive line, can they run the ball the way they're accustomed to doing against a really stout Colts defensive line, which is one of the strengths? They ran it pretty well in the last game, which we know is going to be fresh in our minds. And we also know, fresh in our minds, that the Titans really had no answers for Philip Rivers in that first meeting. They had the short passing game, the run after catch, and they had a lot of success moving the ball against the Titans. A lot of long drives, a lot of sustained drives, double-digit plays. Remember, we pointed out that they had the ball for the last 13 plays of the first half on the two-minute drill, which they got a field goal out of, and then the first 15 plays of the second half, the opening drive of the second half, which took over 7.5 minutes, they got stopped on the goal line, 4th-and-1, but as we know, that sort of led to the real problems that the Titans started having special teams. It led to the bad punt and then the block punt, so it sort of set the table. So they controlled the ball against the Titans' D. And I'm wondering what adjustments the Titans can make there to do a better job.
Philip Rivers had one pick in the game against Green Bay, and I think that's when he hurt his toe or his foot, right? I think it was on that pick, that interception. He got tangled. You know how quarterbacks
– I missed that part. I didn't see
it. Yeah, I think it was
that
play, and he was kind of hobbling around after that on the sidelines. But like you said, I mean, it's well documented. We've talked about Philip Rivers over the years, especially when there was, that was out there that he was not going to play in L.A. And it's like, could he come here? He's from Alabama. Come back to this side of the country. And we started looking at his, it's like, gosh, the guy never misses games, ever. I mean, he's always available. And so, he's going to play. He's going to be available. But, yeah, I think it was on the pick that they had, that he had. He threw one interception in the game. And I think it was on that play he got stepped on or something. You know how most of those guys, especially the veterans, like they're not even going to hardly make a move, right? Because they know somebody will clean their clock. They're looking for them to act right, like they're interested in going and tackling the guy who made the interception. And I think he got stepped on or something, and he was hobbling around. But he's going to be available. He's going to play. But, yeah, overall, going back to what you initially said, they're in better shape than the Titans, for sure.
I think so. Here's another thing that's emerged for them. Now, we know that it was Hines that had the great individual game running the ball against the Titans. Last week, they went back to the rookie, and now all of a sudden Jonathan Taylor, he had a solid game, 22 carries for 90 yards against the Packers. They haven't had a great running game, but it's been okay these last couple weeks. And then wide receiver-wise, Michael Pittman, I was looking at him. He's a rookie, second-round pick. Remember, they didn't have a first-round pick because they traded for Buckner. He didn't have a whole lot going. He was averaging less than 10 yards a catch. He'd only had 10 catches or 9 catches in the whole month of September. Then he didn't play in October. And I guess I'm guessing he was injured. He missed that whole time. And then he comes back against Detroit, catches one pass. But then the last 3 weeks, four catches for 56 yards against Baltimore, seven catches, 101 against the Titans, plus a reverse where he got 21 more yards on that. And then last week, three catches for 66 yards and a 45-yard touchdown. So he is emerging as another weapon for them. That's a guy that you have to account for if you're the Titans, which comes back to the question we're asking every week. Do they get Jackson back this week? Do they get any good news? We'd just love to have another cover guy in the game to help with these kind of things.
Yep. We will see. Should be an interesting one on Sunday, for sure, up in Indianapolis. Won't be the last time we talk about that contest. But right now, I'm going to talk to you about DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, and giving all you players an opportunity to double your money. Now, this has just happened during this. Now, this was the big opportunity. This has been out there all week. You've heard me talking about it, and a lot of you have been going to DraftKings and signing up and getting registered and taking advantage of this, because that was supposed to be the third game tomorrow on Thanksgiving, the Ravens and Steelers. It's been moved to Sunday. I don't know how DraftKings, I think they're going to honor. Look, I've put in my bet, and I'm assuming they'll just let it play out on Sunday and let you, and they'll honor it on Sunday. That's probably how this is going to work. But they're going to give you an opportunity to double your money, and all that has to happen in that game is a touchdown. So remember, all you have to do is just opt in to the promotion, place your bet, sit back and relax and enjoy the game. Wait for somebody to score a touchdown. DraftKings Sportsbook is offering all new players a deposit bonus up to $1,000. That's the other part of this. And all you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the promo code 1025GAME when you sign up. And once again, use that code 1025GAME during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Boy, it is nice to talk to our next guest. What a game last night that had us all on pins and needles.
Oh, man.
I was sweating like I was playing.
It was so awesome. We call it in hockey a high event game, right? Every minute from the start had something going on. I mean, there were chances. There were great saves. There were great scoring chances. It was awesome.
And now they will punch their ticket next to the semifinal to head up to Columbus to take on the Crew Sunday night at 7 o'clock, and that'll be heard on 94.9. Let's say hello and welcome in Gary Smith, who is the head coach of Nashville SC after their shutout victory over Toronto last night. Gary, I don't know how you remained that calm on the sidelines, but I'm just sitting here in my room just watching the game, and I'm sweating like I'm playing it. Although, by the way, it looked really cold there. But, I was sweating like I was in the game. But you look calm, collected, so good for you. Nice win. Congratulations.
Well, I appreciate that. I can tell you deep down inside there was an eruption going on. And if my exterior looked cool and collected, then it was just a facade. Wonderful evening, an exceptionally good display by the team. And just a fantastic moment for everyone involved in the organization, and they're nights that, you know, you can remember for a long, long time.
What was the mood at the half? What were you guys discussing? How did you feel about the first half? Because something, at least it feels like, whatever you guys discussed, however you felt, it translated into the second half, because I kind of felt like you guys really dictated the pace. You kind of took more control over in the second half. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think there are a couple of things that play into it. You know, it's the first time we've played Toronto, and obviously likewise them against us. So there was a bit of a feeling out process. You know, there were some things in the first half that, I think all of the guys were keen to put right. We, I think, gave a bit too much ground and a bit too much respect to that group. But I think, secondly, you know, we finished very, very strong. And the guys this year have put a tremendous amount of work and effort into their daily routines. And I think on occasions like that, you can see it shine through. And it wasn't just a case of maybe adapting and dealing with the ball slightly better in the second period. It was also a physical and mental state of mind. And I think our guys just looked that much better as the game progressed.
How do you keep your composure when you have three, let's count them together, one, two, three goals taken back because of offsides? How do you keep your composure and keep your head in the game when you think you've scored and they keep taking off the board?
Well, unfortunately, we've entered into this world in soccer now, and I think it's similar in a lot of other sports where, you know, VAR has an awful lot to, you know, or has a massive impact on the game. And I think it has taken a certain amount of enjoyment and exhilaration out of it. And I know for sure now, I rarely, you know, get excited when the ball goes in. We know there's all sorts of checks that need to be done after every goal. And I can only imagine how the genuine fan looks at this, and it's made for a very strange feel around goal scoring, you know, big moments in the game. And look, I think the group did a wonderful job of contending with some of the roller coaster of emotions. We had the three goals. We had an incident where I have to say, you know, for nine times out of ten, I think their player would have been sent off the field. We hit the crossbar. We had numerous other opportunities that were not converted. And you get to that point where, honestly, deep down, I certainly felt as though maybe it wasn't going to be our night at one point. But as we've seen on so many occasions with this team, you know, they've got a great constitution and real moral fibre in this group. And yeah, they certainly held it together very, very well and scored the all-important goal.
Nashville SC head coach Gary Smith on the line with us. Let's talk about your goalkeeper, Joe Willis. I lost count. I don't know, was it 10 shutouts, 11 shutouts? First ever MLS playoffs for this franchise, and they've resulted in two shutout wins, which is pretty amazing. We know you're a defensively responsible team, Gary, but just talk about his play and just the play in front of him for you guys to pitch two shutouts.
Well, Joe himself has just got better and better and grown into this role at, you know, as our number one goalkeeper here. I think it's 11 shutouts now. It's quite an amazing stat for him and the group. But on nights like last night, you need somebody who's not only got a great presence, and he has instilled a lot of confidence in that group in front of him all year, but you need somebody at that end of the field that's gonna win you a game. And he made a couple of very, very important saves. And just as importantly as Daniel's goal, Joe kept us in the game when Toronto looked like they might just be turning the screw a little bit and showing some of the qualities that they have. So, you know, Joe's been fabulous. And I have to say, you know, the back line have been an incredible foundation of the group. And when you look at the energy and the determination in front of them, you know, you start to realize why we are a difficult team to play against. It's not any one individual. It's a collective mindset and application. And I do honestly think the players are in a very, very good place at the moment. And as you might imagine, feel incredibly confident and have a lot of belief in what they can achieve.
No doubt about it. So I want to ask you, Gary, does this taste a little bit sweeter, this victory, considering, you know, the narrative out there? I mean, we've heard it. Everybody we bring on, that talks about your old style. You know, it's not the flashiest of styles. You know, it's not about hanging four goals. It's about, I just said it, you guys are defensively responsible. You're going to make things incredibly difficult for the other team to score. Like I said, it's not going to win a lot of style points. So you hear all that stuff. Your players hear all that stuff. But yet here you guys sit in the semifinal. So does it taste a little bit sweeter when you go about your business the way you do and you just keep collecting wins?
Well, listen, it's always nice to win games. I mean, let's be perfectly honest. We're a professional team. We're not a local youth club where, you know, I'm bringing players on just to get games and minutes and keeping parents happy. You know, we're here for a business reason. Yes, I think we have... we certainly have, as a group, we have to entertain our fans. And I would love to hear, certainly from the fans that have been able to come into the ground at home, and I'd love to certainly get a feeling off social media as to how our fans that watch our games feel about the way we play. Because there are many, many, fundamental stats that far exceed us just being an organised and competitive team. You know, one of the stats last night gave us with 21 shots to Toronto's 12, which is, in anyone's book, an exciting stat. It means we're positive and proactive. We obviously scored the all-important goal. Understandably, possessionally, we, you know, we're slightly behind Toronto on the night. But there are so many things that support the way that we play and not just a defensive mindset. What we are capable of doing is mixing up the game, making sure that we're very, very difficult to play against when we need to be, but also taking advantage of some exciting moments that we create. And we've got better and better at that. To your point about being bittersweet, in 2010, when I won the championship with the Rapids, the press sounded very, very similar. You know, they didn't take their time and efforts to really dig deeper under the surface as to what we were about. And I think a lot of the other teams, viewed us in a very insular way, and they paid the price for that. And I'm just hoping that'll happen this year. We'll fly under the radar. We'll do our job. And hopefully there's some silverware at the end of it.
Talking to Gary Smith, head coach of Nashville SC, a big, big upset win over the defending Eastern Conference champions, Toronto, last night in overtime. And, Coach, I got to ask you, you've talked about how the game was unfolding and how the guys had to stay positive because you had chance after chance. I know a lot of people were saying that, you know, you guys easily could have been up 2 or 3 to nothing. But as it is, you find a way to break through in the overtime. I want to ask you about what happened after Rios scores the goal. You guys held and really didn't give them a whole lot until literally the last minute. There was a scramble there. I felt like their goalie was going to come in there. It was like a hockey game where people were going to pile up right in front of the goal. That was an absolute madness right there. What is that like to watch when you're seconds away from winning, but it's not over yet?
Well, those moments are certainly heart in your mouth moments. you know that you're going to get a flurry from the opposing team. It's going to be a Hail Mary moment. They're committing players to try and, in those dying seconds, just make a difference. And you know, we've shown our mettle. We've shown that we're capable of dealing with that. You know, all of these experiences are serving this team, this organisation, very, very well. And I think we're growing on the back of every victory and every step that we take. And, you know, it is disappointing that we couldn't have extended our lead. It would certainly have made my life and everyone on the bench's life an awful lot easier and more comfortable to deal with. But, look, we'll take a victory, especially against a top team. As Toronto are, they've got an incredible record over the last 3 or 4 years, and it's a wonderful scalp for us. It'll do, you know, an immense amount for our confidence, and we'll go into this game on Sunday truly believing that you know, we have a very good chance of making the conference final and beyond.
Well, give us a quick scouting report before we let you go on Columbus, the next challenge here.
Well, I think you're going to see a team that are not dissimilar in many ways in the setup and the structure of their group to Toronto. They have three or four very exciting, creative and attacking players. They've got a very good balance to their team. They've got pace and power in wide areas and outside backs that are very keen to get forward and give their team a brighter dimension in the attacking half of the field. But they've also got a very well-organized and resilient defensive setup, and they've shown throughout this campaign that they're not an easy side to play against. In fact, you know, we lost 2-0 last time we went there. It was a very tight game. If I remember it correctly, we played very, very well in the first period. But, you know, we will have taken a lot of lessons from that. There'll be an inner feeling of redemption and a necessity to set the record straight, I'm sure, from our group. And as I've said, you know, we have a lot of qualities in our group now, and I think we've grown since that 2-0 defeat. And there are certainly players in our team, Yonder, Hany Mukhtar, Randall Liao, you know, these guys are playing and performing at a level that they haven't done all season. And they're really peaking at the right time. And along with an obviously very, very solid group behind them, we've got some nice dimensions to our group as well. So I don't think there'll be anyone writing us off at this point in time, especially after last night.
Well, Gary, enjoy the victory today. I know the coach's mentality is always to turn the page and start looking at the next challenge, but job well done last night. That was exciting, and I know a ton of people just following the Twitter feed. It was so much fun because as the game wore on, more and more people were joining. You could tell were watching and hoping. That was, a big point in time that I think we'll all remember is time where more and more people got emotionally attached to this team. But good luck on Sunday, and thanks a lot for spending a few minutes with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That's Coach Gary Smith. He's done an outstanding job. Nashville SC, huge, huge win last night, and now they're in the Eastern semifinals at Columbus on Sunday, and we will certainly be watching that one very, very closely. When we come back, we will wrap up hour number three. Don't forget, at 1 o'clock, special edition of Silly Underdog Picks. We will have that for you. The gang will be ready to go, and we will tell you what happened last week. It was a very eventful week for the underdog pickers, and so we will tell you all about it. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.